are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
All right, let's start off a new year. Good morning, church. Great to be with you. If I've not met you, my name is Scott, and I serve as an interim teaching pastor here. And so it is great to be with you. Happy New Year. Turn to somebody and tell them Happy New Year. Do that right now. Go for it. I don't know what your 2025 was like, but it's a new year. It's a chance to start over. It's a chance to begin anew. It's one of those time frames in the year that we all kind of get to, you know, get a fresh start. I was watching one of those news programs this weekend, and they were interviewing a guy who had written a book about, you know, starting over. And he talked about how we look for those things, like our body and mind and our brain. We look for those times, like the beginning of the year, the beginning of a month, the beginning of a semester, like to kind of start over. And there is this natural rhythm. But here's the funny thing, like, that's not something that he invented. Like, that's something that has gone, that predates this guy and his book. Like, God has, like, originated that in who he is as a person. And even in creation, we see the cycles of nature and spring and summer and fall and winter. And there's these starts and restarts. And so we just thought that we would go ahead and just kind of grab that. And for a couple weeks, look at this idea of starting new, of beginning again, of starting new. And let me jolt you for just a second. If you've been around Mission Point for, let's say, a year, then maybe you would recall this. If any of you have a little static cling thing that maybe you were given a year ago that says God's word for my year. If you weren't here with us a year ago, we did a series and kicked off the year, God's Word for My Year. And we picked a word, hopefully that God revealed to us a word, and that word was gonna be our driver for the year. Some of you right now, like, are experiencing shame because you're like, I don't know where that thing went. I can't remember my word. Like, that's not what the point. That's like, let that go. Like, let that. Some of you are like, oh yeah, I still have that. It's on the floor mat in our van. Like, I see it every time I get in the van. Like, maybe that's where it is. No shame in that. Because guess what? It's a new year. It's a fresh start. You get a chance to start over. Mine is in our bathroom, and it's not like I look at it every day or notice it every day. It's always there. And the other day, like, I was brushing my teeth and I looked at it and I was like, oh, and I read my word, and my word is none of your business. And so I was reading my word and I was like, oh yeah, God, I remember that. There was a marker, there was a moment. And like, there's a part of this last year, I can see that word kind of developed as I looked into my last year. I can see where God provided through that word. But regardless of whether your New Year's resolutions from last year didn't hold up, or maybe you're 4 days in and you're like, yeah, I'm on the third version of this year's New Year's resolution already. It doesn't matter. We're gonna spend some time in God's word because he speaks to this idea of newness long before any of these people that we've been watching on television shows and any of the books that come out and any of the new apps that are out or any of the new medicines or the new courses online that you can buy. Long before any of those were developed, God has spoken into this idea of creating new things and starting over. So I've got good news for you. I'm glad that you're here. We're gonna plow through God's word and see what he says about not just a new year, but a new you, a new me, okay? So if you brought a Bible with you, or if you've got one on your phone or whatever, turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. We're gonna start in the Old Testament today. We may stay there the entire time, I don't know, but we're gonna start there in Ezekiel chapter 36. If you don't have a Bible, hop online. You can download the Bible app, or you can stop out here. If you want a hard copy of the Bible, we'll make sure you go home with one today. Ezekiel chapter 36. Now, Ezekiel is an Old Testament prophet. And so we're going to look at this Old Testament prophet passage. Now, God gave Old Testament prophets, God spoke through them, and he gave his people words through these prophets. Ezekiel was one of those prophets. Now, when we look at Ezekiel, here's what was happening. Ezekiel was giving this prophecy to the nation of Israel. And God speaks to Ezekiel and says, tell my people Israel this. And any time that we look at prophecy in scripture, it's important that we look at it correctly through the right lens. So I had a guy years ago teach me this, that in all of scripture, to look at it through three different lenses, to look at it, and I'm going to help you out this morning, I'm going to give to you what he gave to me, to look at it through the first lens of what happened the first time that that text was written, read, spoken, or that event happened. What was going on the first time? Okay, so in Ezekiel chapter 36, Israel is scattered all over the place. God's people have been scattered in the exile and they're all over the place. They're scattered. They're broken up as a family unit. And so they're everywhere. God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel and says, give this word to my people that are scattered everywhere. Okay, so that's the one-time truth. Okay, so we want to look at it through the lens of one time. Then there's a second lens that we look at it through, and this is an all-time lens. So this passage that we're going to read today had an event that happened. Ezekiel stands up and he speaks this. That was the one time. But then there are some things that we can read from this that are applicable for all time. This kind of a universal message, a principle that we can all, as humans, that we can all embrace. Right? It stands the test of time. So it wasn't just true in that one event, but there are principles we can extract from that one moment and use for all time. And then there's a third lens, and this is the lens that I really hope today that you get a hold of. So it's one time, all time, and the third lens is my time, me, personal. Because here's what I love about God's word. When we read it, we can read it as a historical document. This is what happened the first time. Or we can read this and go, yeah, this is good for all of us. But the word of God is amazing because so often, if we'll spend time and we'll lean into it, God wants to whisper something specific and unique to us personally for us. And my prayer, my hope, and my thought, and honestly, my belief is this morning as we plow through this, is that, hang on for just a second, that I believe that God has something specific for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for you. You're like, is he going to name us all? Yes, like every single one of us, that there is something in this that is unique and specific just for every singular person in this room. Is there a one-time truth? Yes. Is there an all-time truth? Yes. But I believe that this text and all of God's word, but today as we plow through this, there's something he wants you and just you to grab out of this. So here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to spend, I'm going to really try to discipline myself and do something that a lot of times I lie to you. I say, I'm going to read through this whole text and then I stop like two words in and I explain something. I'm actually going to, this time I'm going to read this text and it's going to be up on the screen and I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to read it through and I'm not going to stop, okay? I've declared that. It's my New Year's resolution. I'm good one service in. We'll see if I can hold true the second service. I'm going to read through this. And what I'm going to ask you to do is as you're reading it and as you're hearing it, I want you to listen and look for patterns. We're not to the point yet that you're like, oh, like I'm extracting the one thing. If that one thing hits you, like don't discount it, like that's fine. But right now, let's just read it. And I want you to listen for some patterns that may develop in this passage. Okay, so you're just trying to expose the patterns that might be here. It's like five verses. So hang on. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24. Here we go. This is Ezekiel, God speaking to Ezekiel and saying, tell my people this. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. So, I'm curious. And I can't go around the room, all right, let's vote. And you tell me what. I'm curious, as I read this, and I've read this text before, years ago, I read it and I underlined certain things, but as I began to study this text this week, there was something that just leaped off the page to me. I noticed a pattern of something that I hadn't seen before. Maybe it's because I had just plucked a couple verses out of this, but as I read that whole text this week, I noticed a pattern developing over and over and over as I read that verse. I'm curious, how many of you noticed the pattern of the word phrasing, "I will," in that text? How many of you noticed that? No wrong answer, no shame if you didn't, but several of you noticed that pattern. Now, that pattern is unique. It's really special in Ezekiel 36. That "I will" phrase shows up 21 times in 15 verses in Ezekiel chapter 36. 21 times in 15 verses where God is speaking through Ezekiel and he's saying, "I will, I will, I will." Now, let's look at the one-time implication of that. For the Israelites, for God's people, God was saying this: "For I will take you out of the nations and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land." Remember, I told you these people were scattered. And so God was saying, "Hey, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to do that." Like, you think you have to get a GPS and you got to, you know, defeat all these enemies and you got to figure out how to put everybody back together and you've got to create a master plan. God's saying, I'm going to do that. And then when you read on a little bit more, he says this: "And I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols." This is really fascinating because if you look back, you thumb back to the book of Leviticus in the Bible, you're going to see law after law after law after law that these people had put in place to be clean, to be ceremonially clean so they could worship God. They had to be clean to worship God. So they had to take showers and bathe and stay away from certain foods, couldn't touch certain things and dogs and cats and other weird stuff. Like, there was all these rituals and things that they had to do. So the one time truth, when the people of Israel read this, God is saying, watch this, "I will make you clean. I will bring you back. I'm going to rid you of your idols. I'm going to do this, not you." Imagine their relief when they heard this. I just read over it real quick. Well, God's going to do this, and he's going to do this. But for that one time truth, they're saying, "What? Wait, what about the bathing thing? And the, you know, we always have trouble getting clean water, and are we really clean? And is it like you're saying you're going to do that?" I had another guy teach me one time, we were looking at reading the Bible, and he said, "Emphasize different words every time you read it." Listen to how this text sounds if we emphasize the word "I." "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols." For them, in that one-time truth, that would have been mind-blowing. So what about the all-time truth? Well, I'm a big fan of systems, and every year or so I get a new system on staying organized that lasts like 3 hours. Like, I try, you know, the action method and the boxes and the dot journal and the, you know, I bought off on the systems and taken the course that came with the journal, and yeah, big fan, low on execution. Like, that's me. Because I try to do those things, and in my own power, man, those things fail. Now, that's me talking about time management. What if we start talking about destructive patterns? What if we start talking about things that we know aren't good for us? What if we start talking about internet habits? What if we start talking about the way we speak to our kids and our spouse? What if we start talking about the secret stuff that we haven't even told our boss, our coworkers, our spouse, our best friend? What if we start talking about the things that we think? God says, one time, I'll clean you up. The all-time truth, he says, I can do that. I can free you from that. I can help you with that. I have that power. And not only that, if we emphasize a different word, because some of you need to hear that you are freed up and you need to let him do the work. And some of you, like, you've surrendered that part. You're like, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm just not sure if he's going to. Well, let's emphasize a different word in this text. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all of your idols. That's a different, doesn't that sound different? I will do that. I don't know what your 2025 was like, but we flipped the calendar and some of you went, yeah. Some of you went, because you don't know if he will. Now, don't meet me back here in 365 days. I'm not saying he will do it in 2026. I don't have that ability to know when he will, but I know this. He says it 21 times, I will. I will. He doesn't explain how. And sometimes that's through pain. Sometimes that's through other people. Sometimes that is using the systems and the work that I do. I don't know the how, but I know this. He says, I will. And that's a universal truth. And for some of you, maybe that's your nugget. You just needed to hear that he will. I want to pause and just say this for just a second. Like, it's kind of funny because the song that we're ending today with is the song that ends with the phrase, he won't. Like, and it's like, God won't fail. And then we sing he won't over and over and over again. So I don't want you to be confused when we get to that point. You're like, Scott said he will, and the text says he will, but then we're singing I won't, like, or he won't. Like, it is confusing, but just know this, he will. And then the lyric of the song is like, he won't fail, so he won't. So just don't get hung up there. But he will show up. I don't know when, I don't know how, but he will. The text goes on. I don't want to get hung up there. Verse 26 says this, another one of those statements. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This one's creepy. I gotta be honest. Like, I saw the second Indiana Jones movie when the guy did the thing with the heart and reached it. Like, ah, like this one's a little weird, right? Because think about it. One time truth. Cardiologists had not been invented yet. Right? There were no cardiologists. There were no echograms. They didn't know how all this worked. So when God speaks through Ezekiel, I'm wondering if Ezekiel's like, you sure that's what you want me to say? Like that, like I'm going to tell them that? And God's like, yep. God says to his people, I'm going to, they're like, what does this mean? I'm going to take out your stony heart and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. That would have been crazy for them. They're saying there's going to be death. You're taking out my heart and you're giving me something new. That would have been mind-blowing for them. We read it differently now. We're like, oh, you know, our all-time people are like, oh yeah, we know a guy, my brother-in-law, you know, went in and got a stent, and yeah, I know a guy had a quadruple bypass. Like, I get it. Yeah, he's not saying, I'll do a quadruple bypass. I will take your heart, polish it, and put it back in so it's gonna work mostly like it did. He says, No. I'm all about resurrecting new life. Your heart is dead, black, cold, soiled, broken, hard. We're going to get rid of it. And I'm replacing it with something new. The hard part for me is around this time of the year, I go, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to do the same thing that I was doing last year. I'm just going to do it better and faster and stronger and like, and I'll tweak it. And God's like, you can tweak all you want. You can change it all you want. It's not going to work. And secretly, we all know that. The thing that we're battling inside, we know we can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again and just change it. What we need is we need a new heart. God tells the nation of Israel that, and the all-time principle is this. He's not interested in repair. He's interested in renewal. We come to him and go, God, would you fix it? And he's like, I don't want to fix it. I want to bring you new life. And here's what I love, and here we're gonna divide for just a second because I want to make sure there's a distinction here, because we're this all-time truth for the nation of Israel. We're looking at the literal, right, and this idea of I'm taking this heart out and giving you a new one. The all-time truth starts to separate a little bit because there is a truth for those of you that have confessed your faith in Christ. If you went to a Christian camp, you went to a concert at some point, you prayed, you know, in your living room with your parents when you were little, or maybe it happened in a church somewhere, whatever, you made a confession of faith. Here's what God says. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And this is his promise for those of us that have had a transaction where we have surrendered our lives to Jesus. Those, I'm talking to you for just a second. Everybody else, hang on. I'm going to get to you. Here's what he's saying. If you've made that confession of faith at some point in your life, you didn't just get a new heart, like, oh, it's Jesus into my heart, and now he lives in my heart. It's a new apartment for him. It's a new space, and here he lives. Like, and so Jesus is in me. Yeah, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He doesn't just give us a new heart. What he does is he pours gas on a fire, gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us so that every day we can burn for him. That's what he gave. Many of you are not apparently impressed by that. Actually, we're not that kind of church. I get it, right? You're thinking, you're like, okay, so is that what? Yes, that's what he gave. And Ezekiel is saying, I'm giving you this. Yeah, well, okay, so they heard that and they're like, a fire, like you give me spirit. What we now know from the New Testament, Jesus says, I am leaving and I'm giving you my Holy Spirit who will live in you, dwell in you, be a comforter, a counselor, a caregiver. He will give you wisdom and guide you and lead you. So as you read my word, you understand it and you can live for me. He's your helper. And he gave that to us. And some of us have forgotten that. Instead, we order the course, take the pill, take the shot, download the app, and we think we have to do it on our own. And he gave us his Holy Spirit when he made us new. And we, yes, amen. And we are new and we have a guide and he leads us. Now, I said, that's if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, if you're like, hey, I lost a bet, I have to go to church twice this year, and this is one of them, I'll be here next week, and then I'm done, and this is you, you're just like, you just landed here, and you're not sure about this Jesus thing, I need you to know. That's available to you as well. You're not exempt. And you've got two options. You can keep going down the road, order the app, order the course, try something different, go to the next meeting, go to your thing, Keep doing it. And you know what? I'm going to cheer for you and I'll be a fan and I'm going to be patient with you. I may even ask you for some of those systems because sometimes the systems do help for a little while. But I'm telling you, he doesn't want you to just fix what you've been doing. He wants to give you a new heart, a new life. And he wants to give you his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. When I accepted faith in Christ as a kid, when I accepted Jesus as a kid, people told me to read the Bible. And so I would read the Bible and I would read the Bible and it would tell me what to do. And then I wouldn't do it. And then when I would say, what should I do? They would say, read the Bible. And so I would read more of the Bible and it would tell me what to do and I wouldn't do it. And then I would ask people, so what should I do? And they would say, read the Bible, and I would read it and then I wouldn't do it. Because here's why. Information without real transformation, you know what it leads to? And I'm a pastor, it's kind of cheesy, but information without transformation leads to frustration. And for us to just continue to pour more information and pile information onto people that haven't been transformed is irresponsible. Why do we think they get frustrated and mad? Because we're being irresponsible. They haven't been transformed. Information without transformation simply just leads to more frustration. And if you're frustrated, I need you to know God doesn't want you to just repair your heart. He wants to replace it. And some of us have those pockets that need replaced. We need to trade in those dark, hard places and let God renew them with something brand new. He gives us his Spirit. It's a promise. I will put my Spirit in you. And I love this. And here's what he says, because if you struggle with reading the Word of God, like I've gone through seasons where I'm like, oh, and like, I'm not really getting anything. Look at what he says. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's the other thing the Holy Spirit does, is his Holy Spirit actually moves in us to understand, to interpret, to desire his laws, to read them, and to continue to move toward them. All right, verse 28. If I'm the people of Israel and I'm like, okay, got it. So you're going to do a work that I can't do. So I'm gonna follow some of these rituals because I'm gonna kind of hedge my bets a little bit. These things don't seem too bad. So I'm gonna keep doing those, but eventually you're going to clean me up once and for all. You're going to assemble us. You're going to bring us all back together. Then what? So what do I do? It's a pretty big shift because God's like, I will. Verse 28, then you will what? Okay, here's my part. You will live in the land I gave your ancestors. What? So you're gonna do all that? God's like, I'm gonna take care of the cleansing, all the rituals, like the purification, the relocation, got it. So what do? Live in the land that I gave you. One time truth, all time truth. So what do? God saves us, gives us his Holy Spirit, redeems us, restores us, empowers us, gives us supernatural spiritual gifts. So what do? Live in the land that he put us in. Live there. So just live. Live there. Camp out there. Invest. You see, these guys, when God said, live in the land that I gave you, this was a communal picture. We don't get this. Like I didn't grow up in a Jewish home 2,000 years ago, but they saw living together, living in the land the ancestors gave them. This was a communal thing. This was a shared responsibility. They took responsibility for their kids, their neighbors' kids, the people around them. They didn't have garages. they didn't pull their cars into garages and as soon as they shut the car off, hit the door opener. Why do we do that? We hit the door opener up in the car when there's one on the wall. So that my neighbor who's walking doesn't come towards the house and come talk to me because I got other things to do. They didn't have garages. We do. They didn't have backyards with fences. No, they just put all their goats and their sheep together and they hung out and their kids, you know, can I spend the night at their house? I don't care. Like, sure, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Like they all just like, they just like hung out together. It was one big thing. So when God says that to the one-time thing, we've got to understand the universal principle that he's giving us is live in the land that he gave us where we live, learn, work, and play. Live there, invest there, be present. So does that mean I have to help out at the Agatas camp this summer and like help with those kids? Well, maybe. Is that the community where you live? Do you have responsibility for the people in this community? Well, then maybe. Well, does that mean I could do that Super Saturday thing on a camp? Yeah, probably. Maybe, I don't know. Listen to what he's telling you. Is that a part of it? I don't know what the specifics are, but the universal truth that he gives is live in the land that I gave you. Live, dwell. That word there, live, means to dwell, to invest there and take responsibility for the people around us. So when we say that here, like, man, when we're talking about orphan and vulnerable children, like, okay, who is that in our community that we're going to just rally around? We're going to put our arms around. We're going to invest. When we do supermarket sweep, well, why would we do that? Well, because this is where we dwell. This is our land that God has given us, where he's planted us. And by the way, he cleaned us up, did a work that we couldn't do for ourselves. And then all he asked is that we would just dwell in the land that he put us in. And he'll give each of us a specific task to do. What's really awesome is that's usually aligned with how we're gifted and what we enjoy and things that we love and things that we have, assets and resources to give to that. Just like those people in Israel, those people that he was trying to bring back together. Then live in the land that I gave your ancestors. Oh, and you'll be my people, and I will be. I love this. Let's read it both ways. I will be your God. I will be your God. The word God there in the original language is the word Elohim, which means the true God. He's saying, and I, let's go back here. I will be your true God. Because Israel had a habit, the Israelites had a habit of, God, we love you. You're awesome. We're gonna worship you and you alone. Hey, let's make an idol. And they would make an idol. And they would worship that. And they're like, oh, but you're the man. Hey, is the idol almost done? And they would like, they were in this pattern. Like they built idols and they worshiped other things from God. And so God was saying at that point, if you just live in that land, I'm gonna do all this work for you. You live there. And then I will be your God. That was the one-time truth. It's probably different though from a one-time universal truth though, right? We don't put other things in front of God and worship things other than him, do we? Did this whole thing just break down or is it all consistent? That the universal truth is God is saying, don't put anything in front of me. I will be your God. So you live there. Let me be the one true God. I'll do that. And then he ends with this really cool encouragement. One more I will statement. It's like the cherry on top. I, because you can't do it on your own, I will save you from all your uncleanness. Or, I will save you from your uncleanness. That habit, that thing, that addiction, that brokenness, that attitude, that fear, that hurt, I will save you from all your uncleanness. And here's the crazy part. It's that three-letter word, all. I'm way out of time, but that word is probably the most powerful word in this whole thing. All. Some of you need to hear, there's a day coming. He will rescue you from all of it. You can't. You've tried. He can, he will. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know who he'll use, I don't know what he'll use, but he is capable. I need to circle back. And yeah, as the bands, you guys can make your way up here. I need to circle back. Go ahead and put that Ezekiel passage back up on the screen for just a second. And for those of you that haven't been with us for the last year, I ask for your grace in this, because I'm gonna circle back to something we've talked about before. But I'm gonna bring you into loop super quick. What's the first word in this text? What's the first word up there? For. It's a version of the word therefore. And anytime we see the word therefore in the text, we should always ask ourselves a question: what's it? Okay, if you're new, you're up to speed. Like I'm a pretty simple guy. We see the word therefore, we need to ask, what's it therefore? And the way to solve that is you read what happens right before it. So this text starts with the phrase, therefore, or for, therefore I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will clean you. I will cleanse you. I will restore you. I will take out your broken heart, your hard heart, your frustrated heart, your bruised heart. I will take that out and I will give you a new heart. This is a response to something that happened right before that. Well, what did God say right before that through the prophet Ezekiel? What did he say right before that? Because if this starts with, therefore, I'm going to do all of these things, what did he say right before that? It's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. In verse 22, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, house of Israel. It's not for your sake that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name. He was like, listen, I'm going to do all this and it's not for you. Oh, I thought I was so special. He's like, yeah, let's be clear. I'm going to do all this and it's not for you. You're going to benefit from it. Those are all great things, but it's not for you. He says, but for the sake of my holy name, by the way, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. Ouch. He calls them out. He's like, because honestly, I'm not doing it for you because you can't be trusted. You're going to screw it up again. And I'm going to show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name that you've profaned again. He calls them out twice among them. Look, and then he lands it with this. Here's why I did it. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord. The nations will know that I'm the Lord, says the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. He says, why am I cleaning you up? Why am I doing the work? Why would I give my son on the cross for you? Because at some point, I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to send you back to the place where you live. And the nations will see me through you. That's why I did it. Which is why we show and share the love of Jesus. He cleaned us up. He died, gave his life for us. What are we supposed to do? Well, live in the land that he gave us. Dwell there so that the nations, the people around us, will see him through us. That's why he came. And if that's news to you, I want to continue to ask you to just keep coming back, because we talk about this guy every week and what he did. Because you can't do it alone. You can try. You're a nice person. I'm glad that you're here. But you can't do it alone. And just ask a lot of people in this room who figured that out. We can't do it alone. You know what's interesting? That's what makes this different than a self-help conference. You think about that. There are much better speakers and communicators and authors and book writers that have written self-help books. Like they're amazing. I've read several of them. They're so much better than me. Thank you for not saying amen, but like they're so much better. You can get better content. You know what you can't get? The part where he says, I will save you from all your uncleanness. All those other things, they're just gonna help prop it up. He's the only one that saves. That's what makes this, what we do here, unique. We've done something as a church. What we've done is we've revived this. If you were around Mission Point, my family, we weren't here when they used to do this. But years ago, somebody told me this story. There was a laptop that was out in the lobby. And when someone showed or shared Jesus with others, they would walk by, slam the space bar, and the counter would keep track, right? Something like that. I heard that, right? And so we kind of rebooted that a little bit. And in the lobby, you can show them the picture. In the lobby, there's this this dashboard that's out there where if this week or any week, this will be out there for a while. If you show the love of Jesus to your neighbors, like, oh, you find out your neighbor's sick and you know your kids write them a card and you take over a meal, that's you showing the love of Jesus. Like next time you're walking in church, just walk by and you know hit the little plus. Like, yeah, I showed the love of Jesus. Now, it's not a fingerprint scanner. We're not calling you or like, hey, you get credit. Like, this is not like you data geeks, like let it go. We're not tracking people, right? This isn't like, you know, oh, you didn't do da da da. No, this is us just like saying, hey, let's celebrate the fact that we are showing, but then also sharing, which is where we talk about Jesus, not about like, whoa, this is, I read this, you know, good book that will help you. It's like, no, like we talk about Jesus and we share Jesus. And if that's you and you do that, hey, sometime, you know, hit up the website and go, yeah, ding, did it. Or, you know, walk into church and like, you know, slam it. Nobody's going to follow you and go like, yeah, good job. Like you're winning. Like this is, we're not keeping score. This is keeping this in front of us that this is what we do. We show and we share the love of Jesus. So I'm glad that you're here. We're gonna sing this song, He Won't song. We're gonna sing this here as we end our time together. And I want this song to just wash over you. And again, we looked at all-time truth, universal truth. And as we sing the song, I want you to focus and just ask the Lord if he hasn't yet to reveal to you that one-time thing that he's asking you to lean into him for this year. Maybe that's healing. Maybe that's recovery. Maybe that's restoration. Maybe that is a brand new, you're trading your hard heart for the soft heart. Just ask him and let him speak to you. God, use this time, Lord, to speak to us. God, I thank you for the number of times you said in your text that you will, you will, you will, you will, you will. God, thank you for that. And I do pray, Lord, today, As we sing, I pray that you would just reveal to us what you want us to see, what you want us to know, what you want us to walk out of here with, the strength, the fire that you want us to walk out of these doors with today. Reveal that to us now.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.